Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. There is hardly a book in the New Testament that does not lay stress on the Lord's second coming. According to the Gospel of John, Jesus promised, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14:3. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians plainly states, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-18. From a scriptural viewpoint, there is no doubt about Christ coming again. The Apostle Paul assured the Corinthians that they were not lacking in any gift as they waited for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 7 and 8. The Greek New Testament uses two different words to describe the Lord's return to claim his own. The most common word, parousia, literally means presence, that is, someone who comes and stays. James uses this word when he urges his readers, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receives the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near." James 4, 7 and 8. The second word, apokalypsis, and the word we are examining in 1 Corinthians 1:7, is usually translated revelation. The word almost always refers to God's revelation of his will in the Bible. But in the passage from 1 Corinthians, the word applies to our Lord's coming at the end of the age. The word literally means an uncovering or an unveiling. You can understand that the Lord's second coming will be a revelation beyond the fertile imagination of any person. He will be a revelation of the glory of Almighty God and the beauty and grandeur of that heavenly home. In the following verse, the word is translated appearing. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. The Corinthians were eagerly waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who would confirm them unto the end, that they might be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus. I wonder how eagerly we are waiting for the Lord's coming. Are we fearful of his coming? Fearful that we are not ready for him? If we are walking in the way the Lord has given, we have no need to fear. He will confirm us unto the end. The word confirm means to make stable, to establish. But will he establish us if we are not walking in the way of the Lord? The Apostle John provides God's answer to that question. "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." 1 John 1, 7. All the verbs in this verse are present tense. That means we must continually walk in the light to have the continual cleansing of our sins. And all of this will make us blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus, that is, at the final judgment. I close today with these questions. Have you come to the light by obeying the gospel? If you have, are you walking in the light? Thank you, and may God bless you.